Welcome to Bet and Breakfast, a podcast from BetSided.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
It's sports betting for everyone.
I'm here to tell you today that the New York Yankees season is done. Stick a fork in them, it's over.
Lamar Jackson, I can't believe he's that low on the list that he's my bet for sure at this point in the season.
Early leans, best bets, props, parlays. If you can bet it, we've got it.
I'm taking the over on this. If you look at the last five games, this is a game waiting for points to be scored.
Tom Brady, I think everyone's heard of him. If Brady puts up the numbers, they have the 10th easiest schedule the rest of the way.
Get in, get out, and you're ready to go.
I think they're going to have to give him the award if Dallas ends up locking up this division and possibly even that number one seed.
And here are your hosts, Ben Heisler, Ian McMillan, Peter Dewey, Donovan Smoot, and Reed Wallet.
What comes before anything? What have we always said is the most important thing?
Breakfast.
Family.
I thought you meant the things you need.
What's going on, people? Happy Sunday. Myself, Peter Dewey, along with Ian McMillan, little bet and breakfast action for you on it. Really a jam-packed Sunday. We got final round of the PGA Championship, three NHL playoff games, an NBA playoff game. It's a big day. Ian, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing fine. I still need to continue to petition for us to change the theme song because the longer the MLB season goes on, the more stupid I sound saying the Yankees are done. So I still need to get after the powers that be because we got to change that. The Yankees are in fact not done.
We also, I feel like everybody's claim in that intro is like it's real tough because none of us picked Aaron Rodgers to win MVP either. Yeah. And so like I'm hearing my Lamar Jackson take from like week six and I'm like, yeah, he was pretty good then. And then he played like five games the rest of the season. But hey, it's
well, if we kind of wait long enough, the Lamar Jackson take will then become relevant again.
It's true. We'll come around. I mean, I'm back on the Lamar MVP train for sure this year. But
and the other thing that you mentioned, James Pack Sports Sunday, Formula One race just wrapped up. Max Verstappen won again. Mm. So shout out Max Verstappen.
Max Verstappen, man, it's weird now. Like, I mean, Verstappen was really good, but it's weird that Lewis Hamilton is just nowhere to be found anymore. I'm like kind of sad that he's not.
Yeah, he's not even the best driver with Mercedes. George Russell has been doing much better. Another podium finish for George Russell today. So strange, very strange. Yeah. Looks like he'll never get the solo record for most drivers' championships in Formula One history. So sad.
Yeah, that's tough. Speaking of sad endings, Tiger Woods pulled out of the PGA Championship yesterday. Any thoughts on that? You kind of expected him to do that after a rough round three.
Yeah, smart move, to be honest. He probably should have done it. I kind of wished he was going to miss the cut. Not only did I have a bet on him to miss the cut, I think he ended up making it by one, but he wasn't looking good. He was looking good at the start of round one, and then he tweaked something. And even at the start of round two, I know round two, I think he shot one under. Mm-hmm. He's hobbling around out there, and this is not the tournament that he's going to be able to contend in. I want him to rest up, even not even for the U.S. Open, the British, they call it the Open Championship, the British Open in August now because it's at St. Andrews, and that's his favorite course on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And I think he's won there twice before. So I want to see, that's where I want to see the best version of Tiger Woods. So if that means pulling out at these majors, if he knows he's not going to contend, then please do.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it makes sense.
I don't need to see him hobbling around and shoot an eight over again. Like, I don't need to see that.
That's the thing it's like frustrating because he played well on Friday and you're like, okay. And then it's just like Saturday, it's like, it's a completely different guy. And it's just you can tell his body is just not like I don't know if he can hold up for four rounds right now. Like, I think he needs to give himself more time. Like, it's a little much. But speaking of PGA Championship, we got Sunday, Mito Pereira, is that how you say his name? He's leading. He is the leader right now. Will Zalatoris behind him, -6 in second. Who do you think is going to win? Do you have any plays still alive at this point to win it all?
Yeah, so one of my pre-tournament picks is actually Matt Fitzpatrick. I got him at 50-1, so I'll be sweating that out. He's tied with Will Zalatoris, three strokes back. So yeah, it's Mito Pereira 9-under, Fitzy and Will Zalatoris at 6-under, and then Cameron Young at 5-under, Abraham Mancer at 4-under. So when you look at the odds, it kind of drops off after the top four guys. I think it's going to come down to if Mito Pereira can hold on to this, like can play half decent, he can hold on to this lead. But not only like he's, first of all, has never won a major championship. Second of all, has never won on the PGA Tour in general. Third of all, this is a very, very difficult course. So even though he's deservingly, you know, being the favorite. Guys who have never won before, especially if they're at a major championship, that's a lot to handle when you know that there are some guys right behind you. So I think it's going to be tough for him to hold on the lead. But if he stays cool, he can certainly do it. But I think even though I already have a pre-tournament pick on Matt Fitzpatrick, I think he's probably the best bet to kind of come back and win this. He's consensus odds have him around plus 350 because he's the most experienced. Zalatoris still doesn't have a win on the PGA Tour. Cameron Young, I believe, has a win. But he's certainly not a guy that's ever really contended at a major event before. So Matt Fitzpatrick hasn't won in North America before, but he has seven wins on the European Tour, two of those being like two of their like major, you know, tournament kind of things. So he's won in big spots before. That was a big reason kind of why I like him this week, because he actually plays well in this windy weather because he's from England. Like every time they've golfed since they were a kid, it was windy weather. So
yeah.
I think the course suits him well. I think he has the most experience of the guys at the top. I think if you're going to live bet, and actually my best bet is going to be a matchup bet, so stay tuned for that as well. But I think if you're going to live bet a winner, I think you might want to go actually down further on the odds list. Maybe like even – this sounds crazy because he's – I think like he's seven strokes back, six strokes back. Justin Thomas at 25-1. Because if Mito stumbles, and it kind of opens up this entire leaderboard. Because if Justin Thomas can shoot like five under, like a six under, seven under might win this tournament. So with how tough, I mean, we've seen some very good golfers shoot some very bad scores at this course. If this was a birdie fest, it'd be a lot harder to catch up to Mito. But it's not a birdie fest. Mito could shoot four over today and it wouldn't surprise me. And if he does, that completely opens up the leaderboard for those guys who are down to like two under, like Justin Thomas. You obviously have like Bubba Watson and Stewart Cink, but they don't really have the firepower to close the gap. Really, the only guy who I think is kind of within reach is Justin Thomas because he has the firepower to do it. So if you're going to live bet, either go Fitzpatrick if you want someone with shorter odds, then go Justin Thomas at 25-1. Will Zalatoris, don't trust him because his putting. His putting was very good first round, but he's one of the worst putters on tour, and he showed it yesterday. Like he lost almost two strokes on the greens yesterday, so... And a championship Sunday, I don't know if he's magically going to figure out the putter out of the blue. So I'd stay away from him as well, and I'd stay away from Cameron Young just due to experience. So,
I was going to ask you about Zalatoris because I was debating about betting on him because he played so well those first two rounds. And I watched him his, like, entire back nine yesterday, and, like, he had, like, a couple par putts, or, like, very makeable putts, and he just missed. And I was like, I mean, the thing I think about Pereira, and you make some great points, too, like he was as high as minus 10 yesterday, went down to minus six, and then worked his way back up to minus nine. So it was like, you make a great point. Like he could shoot four over, like it could come like four straight holes, like real quick where he drops off, and that kind of opens it up for a ton of different people. But very interesting. The leaderboard's a lot more packed than I thought it was going to be with the way that Pereira played yesterday. Like there was enough guys, like I feel like you can say are in contention still.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to, well, Zalatoris is like the best ball striker on tour right now, but his short game is just so bad. So that's why he was like either winning or like co-leading like after the first two rounds, because he putt well. He gained 3.59 strokes on the greens in round one, which is insane. Had a good putting day in round two, 2.59 strokes gained on the green. But then yesterday was how Zalatoris has generally been putting since he's joined the tour, minus 1.44 on the green. Like, maybe he can putt like he did in round one, and if he does, he could go ahead and win this. But these young guys, it's tough for, especially if you're already a bad putter, to then have to be able to putt in pressure situations. It makes it that much harder. So I don't have a lot of faith in it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a fair point. We got NHL playoffs today. Three playoff games. I was going to ask you, why did they move? Why is the Panthers are playing back-to-back days against the Lightning? Is that something we're doing here now?
There's a concert in Florida on Saturday night wherever the Panthers play. There was a scheduled concert. I forget who it was. It was some like country singer that I've never heard of had a concert scheduled at the Panthers Arena on Saturday night, so they had to move it to today.
Oh my God. I was so confused by that. I was like, did they get like game get canceled and moved? So but the first thing I want to ask you before we're going to break down all three of these games, but which of these four series has been the most intriguing to you that you've, you know, either in terms of like who you think can win the Stanley Cup or just like most interesting to watch for you?
Hmm. I think probably the Lightning and the Panthers. Probably because I think it's kind of weird, and I'm going to sound biased by saying this, but the Lightning have a chance of, like, every series becoming easier, which is something you never see in the Stanley, like in any playoffs, in any professional sport. Usually each round is supposed to get more difficult. For the Lightning, it might be each round gets easier. I mean, it's tough to say about that about the Panthers, who are the President's Trophy winners, the best record in the NHL. But like I've said before, the Panthers aren't really built for playoff hockey, and the Lightning match up really well against them. And the Leafs gave them everything they could have in round one. Now, they might make short work of the Panthers, and then they have probably the Hurricanes, which is a tough matchup in round three. But, like, it's kind of weird how I don't think the Lightning might go and win their third straight Stanley Cup, but they might not face another Game 7 the rest of the way out. So that's interesting. The Avalanche and the Blues have been interesting because I think the Blues still have a chance to upset them, even though they're down 2-1 in the series now. But obviously the most exciting one is the Battle of Alberta. That series has delivered night in and night out. So if there's one NHL game I'd recommend you watch tonight, it's that, because it's been wide open, high scoring, rivals, obviously, the Canadian crowds going nuts. So Battle of Alberta has been great.
Let's jump right into the Battle of Alberta. Flames Oilers game three tonight. Flames are -120 favorites on the road. I know you have a best bet in this game. How do you kind of see this one going?
So here's the thing with this series is the Flames are outplaying the Oilers statistically and analytically. Like, if you look at the advanced analytics, like Corsi percentage and high danger scoring chances, they're outplaying the Oilers, but their goaltender, Jacob Markstrom, has been terrible. A save percentage of 83.82% so far in the series, which is almost unheard of. Like, for every 10 shots the Oilers are getting, they're almost averaging 2 goals per 10 shots. Like, that's like, they may as well have me in net. Like, that's so, like, I want to back the Flames because, like, they're outperforming them. But I'm like, if Jacob Markstrom doesn't pick things up, like, he's going to allow another 6 goals. I don't know if you watched game one, but they had a 6-2 lead. And
yeah,
the Flames ended up winning 9-6, which is a crazy hot score in hockey. But Flames goaltender has been terrible. So, like, I look at this game, I think the only thing you can do is bet the over. And the odds makers have kind of responded to how the series has gone because the total's at 7, which is an insane amount for a hockey game. But you can get the over at +105. And obviously with it being at 7, you have a little bit of safety with a potential push there. So I'm just going to bet the over and root for goals, even though I'm tempted to bet the Flames because they're only -120 favorites. And I think they are the much better team. But until I see Markstrom have a half-decent game, I can't trust him because he was terrible in the first two games of the series.
Yeah, and I believe you said you have the Flames winning it all, right, if I remember correctly? Is that who?
Yes, Flames over Hurricanes was my in the final was my pre-playoff pick. So
he's going to have to pick it up. He's going to need to.
Yes, and I have a sizable bet on them to win the Western Conference at 10-1 that I placed back in January. So I'm a Flames fan right now.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Talked a little bit about the Lightning. They got game three tonight. Very interesting. Lightning are dogs at home. I thought that was kind of a surprising after they played so well in the first two games of the series. Obviously, this team's got a ton of experience. They won back-to-back Stanley Cups. But is there any value in this game? Where are you going here?
I bet on the Lightning both in the first two games. Cash that. Like I said earlier, I think the Lightning are just match up really well against this Panthers team. I should probably just bet the Lightning again. But, and this is a, like, you shouldn't use this factor when you bet on sports, but, like, I feel like the Panthers are going to win one of these games. And now would be the kind of time to do it. But that's only like a gut feeling. So because of that, yeah, I'm going to bet on the total instead. The Panthers going down 3-0 just seems tough for the President's Trophy winners. But I think the Lightning swept them last year, so it could happen. So if you're going to bet aside, I just stick to the Lightning. But I'm going to go over 6.5. I think the value is a little bit better there. If you look at the combined expected goals per game so far, it's at 7.02, which would obviously hit the over in this one. The under hit in the first two games. But like I said, both teams are getting offensive opportunities. They're getting high-quality scoring chances. We've just seen some good goaltender play so far. So, I mean, the advanced analytics say it should be a high-scoring game based on the first two games. I'll go over 6.5 for that one, too, and just root for some goals.
The other thing I think is interesting, because obviously they play game four tomorrow because of, like we mentioned earlier, the concert moving the game. So that's weird. I feel like you never really see playoff back-to-back. So obviously depending upon how this game goes, is going to kind of change things. But do you think there's anything for game four you're going to be looking out for after this game? Just because, like, for me, I would just be thinking, like, there's going to be a lot of tired legs. Like, maybe it's worth just playing the underdog because, like, you're getting more value on that. But it's just a weird situation. Like, you don't ever see this in the playoffs in any sport where it's – I mean, you do in baseball. But, like, back-to-back games in a hockey or a basketball playoffs is very weird.
I think the only thing I'd look for is if this the game today goes to overtime, and if it like goes like deep into overtime, then maybe there'd be something to said for that. But I don't really buy too much in tire legs. These guys are peak professional athletes playing in the postseason. Like I think they'll be all right. If it goes deep into overtime, then that could be an issue. And also another thing is these are two Florida teams too, right? So like Tampa Bay playing in where do the Panthers play? Miami? I think it's outside of Miami.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
They're not far away from home. They might even just be sleeping in their own beds. I don't know exactly what the travel situation is like, but it's not like they're, you know, in a different time zone, you know, getting on the bus, you know, and traveling all around. So they're both in Florida, same time zone, might even be staying in their own beds. I don't know how far of a drive it is from Tampa Bay to Florida, from Tampa Bay to Miami, but no, unless the game today goes into overtime, I'm not going to overthink that too much.
Okay. All right. I respect it. Last game of NHL today, Hurricanes against my Rangers, who look dead in the water at this point, entering game three. Do you think the Rangers, asking for myself, do you think the Rangers have a shot to win a game? And what are you playing in this one?
They have a shot to win. I'm not going to be betting on them. I'm betting on the Hurricanes. I mean, I've been saying it. The Rangers did not deserve to win that series against the Penguins. They needed a lot of things to go their way, and they all broke right, including the Sidney Crosby injury, bad goaltending from the Penguins. The Hurricanes are the far superior team, and they've kind of proven that. Like, if you look at expected goals per game so far in the series, the Hurricanes are at 3.43 and the Rangers at 2.42. So, like, a full goal difference between the two teams. Rangers are not even averaging 10 high danger scoring chances per game. The Hurricanes defense has just completely shut down their offense. The only way the Rangers can win a game, I think, is if Igor Shesterkin just completely steals one for them. And he's trying. He only allowed two goals in their last game, and the Rangers couldn't score a single goal to give him any support. So, I mean, a goaltender can, you know, stand on his head all he wants and play the best game of the season. But if your team scores zero goals, like, you need to score at least one to win. So, I don't see any reason to stop back in the Hurricanes in this series. Like I said, I think they're going to make quick work of the Rangers. I think it's going to be done in four or five. I'll back the Hurricanes again today. But with that being said, I mean, the Hurricanes are up 2-0 on the Bruins in their series last round, and then lost every road game, so went all the way to game seven. So maybe we'll see the Rangers tied up these next couple games. But I'd like, statistically, and if you look at the analytics, I see no reason to stop betting on the Hurricanes at this point.
The thing I'm just thinking about, just listening to, what's interesting to me is both the Hurricanes and the Lightning, obviously up 2-0, could like really make quick work of these series and then play each other in the Eastern Conference Finals. So like, I wonder if, you know, there's somebody is able to pull off a sweep here and they're like, hey, we're going to have a couple extra days of rest instead, because that's very interesting, where like, you talk about the Lightning, they might have like an easier path to the Stanley Cup, but like at the same time, if they end up going like 6 or 7 against the Panthers and the Hurricanes winning 4, like that's not exactly ideal after going 7 in the first round too.
Yep, good point. And also, who doesn't want to see the legendary two hockey cities of Tampa Bay and Carolina playing in a conference final? Nothing says hockey. When you think of Tampa Bay and Carolina, you think hockey.
That's the that's the crazy part, dude. None of these cold weather teams, man. What's going on? The Rangers, come on. We're a cold weather team. We should be better at hockey. Come on.
The Western Conference is all like hockey towns, I feel like. And then the Eastern Conference is, except for New York, like 3 of the 4 is southern states.
Yeah, that's true. It's all down there. We got NBA playoffs too, which is what I'm looking forward to tonight. Ian, any chance you watch this game? Game three?
Zero. 0% chance. No, I will not.
Game. I know.
Maybe
I know.
If there's a night there's no NHL playoffs, then maybe I might watch 5 seconds. Or if it's like a game seven, I'm not tuning into game three.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, the thing I will say is the last two game sevens from the semifinals were probably the two worst games of the playoffs, like the entire playoffs, which is just figures. Like, go figure. That's the luck we get. But we got Mavs Warriors game three tonight. Dallas 2.5 point favorites. Totals at 218.5 at WinBet. It's going to be an interesting one because Dallas is in the same spot it was in last series. It lost the first two games to Phoenix, came back home, won two games, and then was able to steal game seven on the road to eventually win the series. But I don't know if I believe in this Mavs team. I've been saying it for a while. Like their go-to thing against the Suns is they were able to find like a favorable switch for Luka Doncic, whether it was getting him switched on Chris Paul or getting him on DeAndre Ayton. Like the Warriors just don't allow you to do that because they just play five really solid defenders basically at all times. Like the guy you would want to pick on is probably Jordan Poole, but they just kind of try to avoid having to put him in any of these pick and roll scenarios. And the thing that I think is so wild, and I'm like almost mad at the Suns that they couldn't figure out how to beat this Mavs team, because Kevon Looney is going for like 20 and 10. He went for 21 and 10 in game two. Like Kevon Looney is just, it's not his game. Like he is not there to score the basketball. Really not even there. Barely played the first couple series because they just didn't like the matchup for him. And the Mavs have no answer for him down low because they have no rim protection. And it just makes me think like the Suns, like you have DeAndre Ayton, who's like a walking 17 and 10, former number one overall pick. And you couldn't have him do this against this team. So if he's going to play like that for Golden State, I just don't know if the Mavs have enough to beat them. I mean, game two, and the I'll give out my best bet in this game later, but I'm taking the Warriors plus I got them at plus three in this game. Lines moved down to 2.5. But
Warriors are underdogs.
Yeah. I'm very surprised, dude. I was very surprised after the way games one and two went that they were dogs in this spot. But like Dallas has been good at home. I'm not gonna like they've been great, and obviously Luka is great, but game two, and I know you probably didn't get a chance to watch, but it went every possible thing that could have happened right for the Mavs in the first half happened. They hit 14 threes in the first half. Doncic and Brunson combined for like 50 points. They're up 19 and they still lose the game. And they finished the game hitting 21 threes on like 46% shooting, and they won the turnover battle. Like everything you could have said, like the Mavs have to do this, this, and this, went right, and the Warriors still blitzed them in the second half, and they just had no answer for them. And so for me, like if Dallas wins this game, I think it's going to be a close game, so I don't mind getting the Warriors like with three, like you're going to give me 3 points. I think the Warriors probably should have been favored in this game, so I will gladly take that. But yeah, it's just Dallas, like they've put themselves in a spot in these playoffs, like time and time again, where it's like somehow they're winning games, like against teams that seem, I mean, the Jazz, the Mavs didn't have Luka, seemed to be the better team. Mavs still won. The Suns, everybody thought best team in the NBA, like they're going to beat the Mavs win. I just don't think the Warriors, like they don't look phased at all. Like Phoenix got blitzed in game seven by the Mavs, and it was like, oh, this game's over. Like we're checking out basically in the second quarter. The Warriors were down 19 like the entire second quarter, and you just felt like they were like a couple buckets away from making it a game. And then like 5 minutes into the second half, it's like, oh, it's a 4-point game now. So I just don't know if the Mavs have enough on offense outside of Luka to end up winning this game and even especially winning this series.
I agree. I feel like the Cinderella story for the Mavericks is coming to an end.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because Luka is so fun. Like you almost want to see him continue in the playoffs, but at the same time, like I feel like whoever comes out of the East would probably blitz the Mavs too, just like with their amount of defenders. So like part of me is like, get the Mavs out of here so we can get a better finals. And like it's nothing against Luka. It's just like Dallas is literally they're playing, we're going to hit 20 threes every game, and that's how we're going to win. Like, they're averaging, I think, 16 made threes a game in the playoffs. That is so – you talk about live and die by the three. I mean, that they are literally doing that. Like, if they don't hit 12, 13, 14 threes, they have no chance. And it's like, even if they do – they hit 21 in game two, and they still lost. Like, there's just only so much you could do at that point, no matter, you know, how good Luka Doncic is. Like, if you just don't have the better players, you know, it's like in this series, Luka's probably the best player. And then the Warriors have like the next five best players. And maybe not that, because I've thrown Jalen Brunson in there, but like they have like four of the next five best players in the series. Like that's, it just makes it so tough to win games that way. And obviously with the Heat Celtics series kind of flipping on its head with Miami upsetting in game three, I think Warriors could put themselves in a nice spot. They win tonight. Going to have a lot of time off before the finals, possibly.
I like it.
All right, let's hop into some best bets, my man. I know you got a best bet for the PGA Championship, so talk to me. What we got?
Yeah, a little round four matchup bet. Little shorter odds if you're already sweating out a pre-tournament ticket for the PGA Championship, or if you don't want to live bet, or if you just want some extra action. Seamus Power -115 against Abraham Answer. Abraham Answer is kind of that fifth guy, the first guy outside the kind of top group that can make a run to win today. But I'm not a big believer in Abraham Answer this season. He's a guy I've liked to bet on in the past. But he's in a situation where I like to fade these guys when I'm betting on golf. Guys who kind of have sexy names, big names, names that people recognize, but like aren't playing well this season, because he isn't. Even though he's obviously has a chance to win the PGA Championship this season, ranks 147th in strokes gained tee to green, 128th in strokes gained total, 122nd in approach. One of the worst chippers on tour, 206. Now, that hasn't bit him too much this event, but chipping is extremely important in this event. Watch for that to kind of come back to bite him today. And he's kind of faltering off. He was very good in the first round, pretty solid in the second round. Yesterday, like, he lost momentum, though. Yesterday, he still gained some strokes, but, like, he wasn't playing as well as he did the first few rounds. And Seamus Power is doing the opposite. He's kind of trending upwards, especially with yesterday's round. He gained 2 strokes putting, almost a full stroke around the greens, over a full stroke approach, a stroke and a half off the tee. He gained a total of 5.52 strokes on the field yesterday. So Seamus Power is kind of trending upwards as the tournament goes on, and Abraham Answer is kind of trending downwards. And just overall, Seamus Power is better. Has better stats this season. If you look at just total strokes gained, Seamus Power is ranks 50th. And like I said earlier, Answer ranks 128th. So I know Answer is the more popular name, is the more known golfer, but this season, Seamus Power has been the better golfer, and you can get him at basically pick'em odds to beat Abraham Answer while he's trending upwards and Answer's trending downwards this tournament. So I think if Abraham Answer didn't have the name that he has, didn't have the recognition that he has, Seamus Power would be like -130 in this matchup, but people know who Abraham Answer is, so I'll go ahead and fade him, because he's just, outside of like the first couple rounds, he's not played well at all this entire season. So I'll go Seamus Power -115, a little round four matchup bet today.
I like that. How far is Power back? Does he have any chance to win it?
Yeah, he's 1 stroke back of Answer, so I think they're even. They're paired up today, so yeah, so he's 3 under, so he's 6 strokes back. I don't think he has the firepower to come all the way back and kind of and win this event, especially he's not exactly a big winner on tour, but he could. It's possible. I think anyone who's 2 under or better has a chance to win today. I think once you get to the group of 1 under guys, I think they're too far back.
Yeah. Because you would need, at that point, you would have to play like, what, 5-6 under at that point and hope Pereira stumbles really
right.
bad.
I think 2 under, shoot 6 on, if you can shoot 6 under, which would be a crazy score at this course, but possible, get to 8 under. I think even if you shoot 5 under, you get to 7 under. I think 7 under might have a chance. Okay. I hope Matt Fitzpatrick shoots about 10 under and can win this sweat free so I can cash my 50-1 ticket, but... I predicted before the tournament started that the winning score would be 9 under, and I could certainly still be right with that. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. The fact that like Zalatoris, he was what, 8 under through 2 days, and then he kind of backtracked yesterday. So like,
well, I mean, Rory McIlroy was 6 under after the first round. Like he'd be tied for second place if he just shot even par the next 2 rounds, and then he didn't. He shot a 71 and 74. He's all the way back to even. So he's back to square one.
Yeah, that's tough. That is tough. I feel like Rory's like due this year. I feel like he's played so many, like he played that great final round at the Masters and then plays the great.
That's what people said. And then he shot 6 under in round one and they're like, oh, here he is. Rory's about to win his first major since 2014. Why tournaments are 4 rounds long.
That's true. Very true. All right. So I'll hop into my best bet. Looking at the Warriors Mavs game, taking Klay Thompson over 2.5 assists. And this is like a prop that probably never would like see somebody willingly bet Klay Thompson assists in any way, just because it's not his game. But you look at what Klay's done in this series, and the problem I had with him in the first couple rounds was he was taking a lot of shots where I like to describe, like, he was trying to blow the roof off the building with every one of his shots. So he was taking threes where it's like, you know, heat check type of threes or contested threes or these step back, like fadeaway jump shots, where it just felt like if he makes it, it's like, oh my God, especially when they're in Golden State, like this crowd is going to be going crazy. But then when he misses it, you're like, that was a horrible possession. You're like, okay, it's Klay Thompson, so you can't really say that. But it's like, if anybody else on the team not named Steph Curry took that shot, you'd be like, why did he shoot that? So what I've liked is in this series, Klay has been much more selective in terms of the shots he's taken. He started slow in game one and ended up finishing 7-for-13. Game two, he was 6-of-10, scored 15 points in both games. And honestly, that's all the Warriors really need from him right now. They don't need him to go crazy because the Mavs are kind of content with like leaving either Otto Porter or Andrew Wiggins open because they're like, we can't let Klay and Steph beat us. Andrew Wiggins has really stepped up in the series. It's the benefit of Golden State being able to stretch the floor with all five of their guys. So I like this assist prop for Klay because he's had 5 assists and 4 assists the first two games of this series. He's had 3 or more assists in 6 of his last 9 games in the playoffs. And it just comes down to Dallas is blitzing all of these Warriors like back screens. And when they try and get these shots for Steph and Klay, they're blitzing them, which means they're doubling or they're switching and it's leaving guys open. And so far, Klay has done a really good job finding guys backdoor, making the extra pass when they have it there. And guys are knocking out shots. Golden State shot over 56% from the field in the last game. And like I said, Kevon Looney has been huge for them in this series. So if he's going to be able to get easy baskets inside, helps everybody on the team for assist props. Because anybody who's taking the ball to the rim, Dallas is collapsing. Kevon Looney's getting easy, easy layups at the rim. And the Mavs have no rim protection. So it's not just Kevon Looney. Like anybody going to the basket for Golden State, it's like basically they'll take it every single time because the Mavs aren't blocking any shots. So they don't care, you know, that it's not a great matchup of like Jordan Poole going at a 7-footer because they don't have to deal with that in this series. So I like this spot for Klay. I think he's a little underrated as a playmaker in this series. Minus 120 odds, not too bad for this prop. So that's my best bet for this one. And do you have any thoughts on that one, Ian?
I like it.
Hopefully, this will be the classic Klay game where he takes 25 shots and scores 40 points and he doesn't pass the ball once. I'll be like, ah, all right. But no, it feels like he's they've been asking him to move the ball a little bit more. So I do like that for sure. And that's basically our show, guys. But good news, Ian and I back tomorrow, Daily Bet Slip, 5 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to talk some more NBA, NHL playoffs. Maybe talk some NFL. You never know. We're going to get into a bunch of stuff tomorrow. So tune in with us tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern time, Daily Bet Slip. Ian will also be on after for Green on the Greens, I believe at 6 p.m., correct?
Yes.
So got a jam-packed day for y'all tomorrow. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Good luck with all of your bets on Sunday, and we will talk to y'all soon.